You're listening to a podcast from thebodypro.com. The following podcast was recorded at the 14th Conference on Retroviruses and Opportunistic Infections, also known as CROI 2007. For more podcasts and full coverage of this conference, please visit us online at thebodypro.com.
My name is Roy Gulick. I'm from the Weill Cornell Medical College in New York City. I was an investigator on the Maraviroc studies. So what we hear today is the phase 3 results of Maraviroc in treatment experienced patients. So patients who were exposed to the 3 traditional classes, nukes, non-nukes, and PIs, came into the study, were checked for tropism, and those who demonstrated R5 virus were randomized to one of 2 doses of Maraviroc or a matching placebo, and all of those were added on to optimized background, which was chosen on the base of treatment history and on resistance testing. And what we hear today are the 24-week results, which show that the virologic suppression rates in the 2 Maraviroc arms are superior to those in the control arm. There are 2 different studies, Motivate 1 and 2. One is done just in the U.S. and the other in Europe, I think Asia and the U.S. But the results of both studies show very similar results. And the good news is that about 60% of people suppress their viral load levels to less than 400 on the Maraviroc arms, compared with about half that many, about 30% on the placebo arm. Or if you look at less than 50, it's about 50% less than 50 on the Maraviroc arms and about 20% on the placebo arm. The other good news were side effects, and really there were no increased side effects in the Maraviroc arms compared to the placebo arm. So take-home message, this looks quite potent in treatment-experienced patients, and when used with an optimized background, really showed potent and durable virologic suppression through 24 weeks, and CD4 cell rises about 100 over baseline.
Mm-hmm. What was infervertide used in the study?
Infervertide or T20 was right. Allowed to be used, so patients could come in on it, and patients could choose to add it as part of the optimized background.
Did they seem to do better when they were using it or not any different?
Yeah, the difficulty in that question is that people weren't randomized, So some people used it, some people didn't, some people were experienced with it, some people hadn't. I think the basic principle is that you want to use at least 2 fully active agents, so in some cases that would be infervertide and Maraviroc or any other fully active agent that you can get your hands on.
Uh-huh. Were there any issues? I know with other CCR5 inhibitors there have been problems with maybe lymphoma. I don't know if that was ever confirmed, but was there anything seen here?
So the other 2 CCR5 inhibitors that made it into clinical development, one was Aplaviroc, which was discontinued because of hepatotoxicity, and that was not seen in the Maraviroc studies. And then Vicraviroc is still in ongoing phase 2 studies. There's a question of malignancies associated with the compound. However, it's really not conclusive, and the numbers have been too small. In this particular study, there didn't seem to be an increased risk of malignancy in the Maraviroc arms.
Uh-huh. What about susceptibility to other kinds of viruses, West Nile, if you inhibit the CCR5?
Right, so CCR5 is a receptor that sits on the surface of the CD4 cell and likely has an immune function. If you look at people who have inborn genetic mutation that doesn't allow them to make the CCR5 receptor, they look no different than anyone else. However, there's an increasing body of data that there are immunologic consequences to not having a CCR5 receptor. People are not more likely to get West Nile infection who are lacking the CCR5 receptor than those who have it, but if they do get it, there was increased morbidity and mortality from the illness, just indicating that there is some immune repercussions. There's also been favorable immune repercussions from it. In other words, people with rheumatoid arthritis who don't have the CCR5 receptor actually have less inflammation and less disease. So I guess the bottom line is we don't know what the immunologic consequences of a compound that blocks the receptor, and it's actually safe to say that blocking the receptor may be quite different than an inborn genetic mutation. So the jury's still out. Looking on the study, we didn't see evidence of unusual immunologic-related events.
Uh-huh. When is the drug expected to be approved?
Well, it's the FDA meeting has been scheduled for April 24th of this year. So it'll go to the advisory committee as the first drug in this class to be considered. And the data that we saw today, the 24-week data in experienced patients, will be the bulk of the data presented.
Uh-huh. And I understand the drug is available on expanded access. Is that international?
I don't know.
Oh,
it's certainly available in the States.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from thebodypro.com. For more podcasts and full coverage of major HIV medical conferences, please visit us online at thebodypro.com.